from the heart of God. I love you, brother.
Great to be with y'all. We're truly honored to be here. In case someone doesn't know who my wife is, Anne, would you please stand for a second? First things first, right? That's my wife, Anne. And that's Anne with an E, as an Anne of Green Gables. I'm a teacher to the T, so better. Just want to especially note, first of all, thank you all of Grace Chapel, everyone who's part of this. There are others who come here specifically at our invite. So there are two Karens sitting right up here. There's Karen Luce. Just wave your hand, Karen Luce. Karen Rue Luce and Karen Hollis. Is that right, Karen Hollis? She's half a hand, right? And next to my wife is Lisa Baryakan Mancini. Baryakan is Armenian. Right? And then there's Brian and Ruth Ann Bartsch, right here. Brian was a teacher, is a teacher at Living Word Academy, now Lancaster County Christian School. He teaches music. And so we were colleagues once upon a time. So we really go back. And then on this side, if I can recognize this, Bob and Tina Trimble. Bob, just raise your hand so they're you and Tina both. Just, that's Bob and Tina, and next to them is Trimble, and next to them is Darlene Varner. Her husband has gone to get me some venison, so he's hunting. So she said, how did he come up with that one? So those two couples really have been longstanding friends of ours for 30-some years, more than that, 35. So I'm honored that both of them are represented in Gary's hunting, like I said. Is there somebody else by specific invite that came here that I've never seen? No. They're nice to see the Martin standing in this after years, yeah. The names, I looked at the face, I know this couple. And so they said, yeah, we know you from years. Great. And of course, everyone who's part of Grace Chapel, we wouldn't be here if you were not part of it. So thank you for being here, and Pastor Mel and Rosemary. And family, we've taught at least Marcy and Matt, two of their children that I can remember. So, Mike. So there we go. This morning, and it's on Facebook Live, right, Pastor Mel? So if there's a link or something for those who missed this morning's teaching more on living in turbulent times and doing missions in turbulent times, we can send the link to them. Okay, so there you go. You can find it there. This morning, for this service here, the title is Fantastic But Disturbing. Fantastic But Disturbing. And just before that, will we have that up on the screen, brother? There we go. Oh, I know, I needed to get this. That little remote. There we are. Oh, I have to point here. That's right, you got to point it here. So, we're our own app foundation as a 501c3. By the way, you're going to get a whole bunch of praise reports. So, don't worry, just rejoice in all this. This year. Our own tax exam status with the IRS. Anne's project is called Door of Hope. About 30. Oh, yeah, but that's a bit tiny for me to read. Yeah, Door of Hope. But there's about 30 little ones. She keeps calling them babies. I said, babe, no, they're 18 months to 4 years who come from the slums and are taken care of. We feed them, we bathe them, we get them clothes. And if you come to visit, they come 5 days a week. If you come to visit, you will have the same food that they get because we eat that same food. If you check my profile, I haven't exactly suffered with it. All right. So that's a typical slum on the side of the street, off the pavement, really. That's our poster child for the year. That's Anne with the little boys. Andrew with the little girls. So you got the full compliment there. This is Anne. Hey, did I jump something? And that's Anne with her staff. All these three ladies came as Hindus, all born-again Christians. They even fast and pray every Tuesday while I'm still having my lunch. Unbelievable. Amazing. Yeah, so just have a passion for God. And you know what? They have absolutely, I hope I don't lose friends, no fear of COVID. They came from Hindus. He said, God brought us out from eternal darkness. This is a small thing. And they just pray for souls. They don't even focus on this stuff. Just a thought. Those ladies are looking at it. The two ladies in the middle, the center and the back, are both volunteers. They come in different days of the week, which is great when Anna's not there. And it's just $10 a month to sponsor a child. And that's, hey. Oh, that's the Vacation Bible School. So these are the older siblings of the children. And these two are, there's about 20 plus that we sponsor, because 18 months to 4 years. So when they graduate from us, they go to the local government schools, which teach in the vernacular or the local language. But those who demonstrate a scholastic aptitude, we sponsor them to an English medium school. So when you buy some IT product and you need some service, you call a toll-free number, you hear them say, "Hello, this is Philip Brown. How can I help you today?" You know, like call centers and stuff. In case you're wondering why I don't speak like that, I'm Anglo-Indian, British Indian, so I'm a cultural and genetic hybrid, the human equivalent of a Toyota Prius. So I teach Shakespeare and stuff. So these children get a chance to go to an English medium school, and they could be the next person in 15 years' time answering your call service, call center service. So they have a tremendous leap in life from the slums to the opportunity of a good paying job. Okay, so this one is, yeah, and for the children who are sponsored to English medium schools, it's $12.50 a month. $150 for the year for their books, uniforms, and tuition. This is very touchy. Do we have any believers like that in Lancaster County? Very touchy, touchy. Dude! Woo! Yeah, that's the completed project, all done. So I said you can just rejoice with us. The ground floor is parking, the first floor is Door of Hope. Then we've got apartments, and at the top is a whole church floor, and then a function and party hall for weddings, engagements, all Christian. It's all done. You know what this is. Okay. So, we'll just skip over to App Foundation. We've established 3 Bible colleges in the Fiji Islands, Indonesia, India, 2 Christian schools in Fiji and North India, constructed 23 simple church buildings, support nearly 60 plus native pastors, national leaders. We talked about that in the morning session. And then we purchased 20 plus good used motorcycles for the leaders to get to the... This is in Indonesia, one of our alumni, Pastor Torkus. I need to update that. He's got nearly 2,000 people in his church. Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation on earth. This is my personal revenge for 9/11. So there's Torkus, praise God, one of our alumni, and so many others. These two girls minister to 200 plus homeless men and women on the streets of Jakarta, which is the capital of that country. These are students just in the fun pick and graduation. Yeah, graduation pick. I know what it was. I wasn't pressing the right spot. Okay. Just take the blame. Customer's not always right. I actually say that to people sometimes, and they look at me in shock. But be honest, when you blow it, just say, "No, customer's not always right. That was my mistake." Wow. Then you tell them Jesus. In the beautiful Fiji Islands in the South Pacific, our main auditorium. This is a student party. This is our Christian school children in the Fiji Islands. Lunch break. This is our latest project that was dedicated January 31st of this year. And some people said, "Why not February 1st? I said, "It's not possible, because Jan 31st is my birthday." All right. It's true. It's just true. So, by March of this year, there's a 9-acre campus with multiple buildings, Bible college, Christian school. By March of this year, 2020, COVID or no COVID, it's irrelevant to the equation. Our God enabled that entire 9-acre project to become self-sustaining. Self-sustaining. And you know, there's an old saying we have, wherever the head goes, the tail follows. Since 1990, our God has enabled us personally to operate 100% in the black Black is opposite of red. Debt free. No bank, if they don't treat our ministry right, we change banks. Hello. We're not going there for a loan. So this is totally self-sustained. This Fiji project is just an amazing. And I told my administrator, don't even ask for a single dollar. And they now, as per my coaching, they're starting a savings account. And then they will have a certificate of deposit. And then they can help other ministries in the country. So I praise God for that. This is 9 acres, 7 on one side, 2 on the other. We've already raised the opposite 2 acres, $20,000, 40,000 Fiji dollars, 1:2 approximately, to the 100-year flood level line. And so we won't need money from the states. They're going to have to raise their own funds, and then they can do another project on that 2 acres. This is an overview of our international rugby field and some staff quarters on the other end. And then we also have an operations base in Adelaide, Australia. Our son Luke is in Brisbane, Australia. Now, Brisbane, I have to Americanize this, and I guarantee you, you'll get this in a flash. Brisbane, Australia, and don't say Brisbane, then they know you're a visitor, okay? Brisbane is the same latitude south of the equator that Tampa, Florida is north of the equator. You got it. You can see palm trees waving at you. Adelaide is more like Mobile, Alabama, a little bit cold. I mean, in the map, but there you go south, it gets colder. You go north, it gets warmer. That's why it's called Down Under. So now, when we're in Australia, I'm ministering in Adelaide. I put a koala there. I could have put a kangaroo. Doesn't matter. I'm ministering in Adelaide. Melbourne is the next mega city close to us, and Brisbane, where we used to live before. So I'm zipping between those cities, ministering in churches, and so I just thought if I put a koala there, it'll leave you with the Australian impression, right? I've authored 3 books. The first 2 are sold out. This is the last. It's a collage or a collection of 5 of the now 20 seminars we have developed and taught around the world. It deals on finances. There's a testimony to it. And I teach stewardship. You won't chase me out if I say something here? I find it amusing and very interesting that most ministries that teach on prosperity are in debt. We teach on stewardship and are debt-free. Just something to think about. So there's finances, scorners and mockers, but there's none in Middletown. Relationships in the body of Christ, leadership, submission and authority, especially in the Wild West when each of us have concealed weapons. Why should I submit to anyone, dude? But, so this is the only one left. It's $10 each. Or if you bought 3, it's $25. You can give 2 to friends. You can be involved by praying. The older I'm in the Lord, we value and sincerely cherish the prayer. There are many people who can't do much financially. Don't worry, pray for us. Even if you prayed 1 minute a day, tuck it in your prayer time. We value that. Pray. You could volunteer. You could. I need to see. School teachers, because we have our schools, if you want to do a little time at our place. Bible college lecturers, short-term missions teams, become a partner. And yeah, this is new. I want you to see this. During the time of the lockdown, while a percentage of people went into depression, it became the most exciting time for us and for my personal walk with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, I'm going to condense this. Holy Spirit led me to start a YouTube channel. As of today, just from the lockdown, there's over 210 uploads, 1,300 subscribers, over 10,000 views. Any more, they're becoming like granola bars, dense and pithy. So if you go to YouTube, Andrew, search for Andrew space N. For no nonsense, space Taylor. And immediately you see a face that looks Middle Eastern and a little dangerous. That's me. Okay? So you got what I was trying to allude to. So Andrew N. Taylor, that's our YouTube channel. And the Holy Spirit, because all my preaching was canceled every Sunday, wherever we are in the world. And the Holy Spirit led me to do this. I go to sleep and wake up, 30 more people have viewed it.
go to sleep, 70 people in. Wow. So I was preaching 24/7 and teaching 24/7. So that's our YouTube channel, email. We have a sign-up pad in the back by the books if you would sign up there. The only reason we ask for a phone number is in case your handwriting is unintelligible. Then we will contact you and say, please, is it a P or a B or a D or what is this? We have our website, Facebook. Again, it's Andrew Taylor, Adelaide, Australia. Thank you, Lord bless you. We can close that down. But it's all praise reports. Fiji is self-sustaining. In India, we are $150,000 shy of becoming completely paid off. No bank. And because we don't have to send funds to Fiji, that $150,000 is going to get shaved off fast. So it's just a matter of time before that's blown out of the water. Indonesia, we have to send a certain amount because it's a 24-hour school, students coming, boys' dorm, girls' dorm, food, lecturers, so that we have to send every year. But that's very exciting. There's another aspect which I cannot share here. I did it at the end after we cut off, where God has connected us with the most populous country in the world, which has a communist government. It's very, very exciting. So I can't say anything more on that. All right. So, the message for today. Fantastic, but disturbing. In Acts chapter 1, our text will be Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. In Acts chapter 1, we can turn that off. Oh, you can do it. What happens in Acts chapter 1? The Lord Jesus ascends into heaven. So his disciples are there and many other followers. And in verse 8, he tells them, but wait in Jerusalem till you receive the promise from on high, which is, Acts 1, 8, you shall receive power. The word for power, the New Testament is originally written in Greek. The word for power is dunamis, from which we get the English word dynamite. Are you ready for this? I said, Andrew, N for no nonsense. My mother named my middle name Nobel, not Noble, Nobel. Alfred Nobel invented dynamite. So he said, what about this guy's personality? Don't blame me, blame my mom. All right? So, but you, as a child of God, if you receive the Holy Spirit, you have the dynamite of heaven in your soul. So you will receive dunamis, dynamite after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Shall be witness to me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. So he tells them to wait in Jerusalem to receive this power. What happens in Acts chapter 2? There's 120 of them in the upper room. And all of them, 120 out of 120, spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were cloven tongues of fire. There was a rushing mighty wind. We know that. And how many souls got saved? 3,000 souls came to Christ. Then we come to Acts chapter 3. Peter and John enter the gate beautiful of the temple. And this really bugged me for a long time. I don't know, as a teacher, I want my I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed. I could never figure out, because the language in the Old King James was quite ambiguous. Was the gate beautiful or the temple called beautiful? So finally I went through commentaries. It says the gate was named beautiful. Because this was a huge temple, Solomon's temple. This gate apparently was 75 feet high, according to one commentator. Double doors, brass. It would have been a spectacular gate. So Peter and John come to the gate of the temple that's called beautiful. That's the gate is beautiful, not the temple. And there's a man who was lame from birth. All this is in chapter 3 and part of chapter 4. That's part of homework, because teachers give some homework, right? So, this man has been lame from birth, and we don't know from what age his parents or family started bringing him and setting him at this gate beautiful of the temple to beg for alms, for money. Now, he is above 40 years of age. It says so in chapter 4. So he's been begging there. He's like an icon. Everybody who comes to the temple or passes by sees him and knows who he is. So Peter and John come by right in the beginning of Acts chapter 3, and he looks at them hoping to get some, toss him some coins. And Peter looks at him and he gets excited because he thinks he's going to get a couple of coins. Listen to me, church. Don't settle for just some pocket change. He got excited for some pocket change. This is the problem with so many of us believers. And he looked up at them expectantly, and Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have right now, but what I have I give." Another pause. We can only give what we have. I try not to, my tendency as a teacher is to say it in the negative, but I said it positive just for Lancaster County or Dauphin County. You cannot give what you do not have. But we can. And Peter said, "But such as I have, give I thee." And the Bible says he took him by the hand, and immediately, this is another upload. You got to go to YouTube and find it. Don't tell me. Every instance in the New Testament, the healing or miracle took place instantly. Oh, my God, I hope he's your God too. He's an on-the-spot and in-your-face God. That's a little different to the God of some TV preachers. Immediately, the man's feet and ankle bones gained strength, and he rose up and went walking and leaping and praising God, running up and down the temple. And what a spectacle it was. It caused a hubbub, a melee, a ruckus, call it what you want. People are agog, like, "Whoa, what happened here?" Everybody knows him. It is an indisputable miracle. And now, this opens a wide door of ministry. Peter and John, but Peter's the spokesperson. John's right there with him. One heart, one mind, one spirit. And Peter now begins to preach. And you'll see in chapter 4, the number is given. In chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, how many souls got saved? 3,000. In chapter 4, it says, the number of people that came to believe in Jesus Christ was 5,000 men. So if you count the women and children, it could have been 10, 12, 13, who knows how many thousand. You see the way the Church of Jesus Christ is growing in geometric progression. Leaps and bounds. So Peter's preaching, souls are getting saved. And now we come to chapter 4. If you follow me with the first 13 verses, if you wish to put it up, sir, that's fine. I appreciate the old King James because I can translate it into American any time. Okay. Acts 4. And as they spoke to the people, now I've brought you to this point, right, Peter and John? The priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, descended on them. Being grieved, they were upset that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, put them in the clink. Hey, Americans understand that. Cool your jets overnight, dude. Put them in prison because it was evening. However, many of the people who heard the word of God being taught and preached by Peter and John believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. It came to pass the next day the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the high priest of Jerusalem were gathered. Verse 7, and when they had put them in the midst, they brought them to trial. Put Peter and John in the midst of them. They asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "You rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we this day are being cross-examined for the good deed done to this formerly impotent man." Now, don't get politically correct on me. These words are in the Bible. Lame, impotent people. But if that's the reason we're being brought to trial for doing a good deed to this impotent man, be it known to you all, and all the people of Israel, verse 10, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Imagine the modern day court telling the judge, "You're the one who's guilty." That's an equivalent. by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither, we know this verse, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friends, the claims of Christianity are totally exclusive. There's no other name, no other way by which a person can get to heaven. That's why we preach and teach Christ, because we don't want the lost to go to a lost, the unsaved to go to a lost eternity. Now, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. Did you see the word ignorant? That's why I like the King James, Old King James. Stay with me. I'll come back to that. I'll nail that word a little bit. And when they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They beheld a man who was standing beside them. They could say nothing, because he was a formerly lame man. Now he's well and whole. And when they commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, what should we do to these men? Because a notable miracle has been done, and people have observed it. And we don't want it to spread among the people. Verse 17, let's threaten them that they no more preach and teach in this name of Jesus. They called them, commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But, verse 19, Peter and John said, should listen to God or listen to you? Hello. Sorry, it's not going to happen. You be the judge. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they further threatened them, they left them. Says they went straight back to their prayer partners. And guess what they did? They had a rousing prayer session. And you know what happened at the end of that prayer session? It says, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Does that sound like the day of Pentecost all over again? The place was shaken. Where they were assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God in boldness. So now, fantastic but disturbing. In America, we don't use the term busker. But we all know about America's Got Talent. So a busker is a mini version, a non-famous version of an artist on America's Got Talent. So in every capital city of Australia, there's a center mall. And there are steel bollards, so you can't drive. Nice paver bricks. So on both sides, malls, stores, shops, eat all you want, buy what you want. And you have buskers. So you could be a talented saxophonist, for example. So you open your case, put it on the ground there, and you play whichever tune, or you know, if you jazz, whatever, and people passing by drop coins, or maybe even put a dollar or two in it. So these are buskers. Or you could have a young child with a gifted voice, somebody playing the guitar. Actually, it's a music teacher. She's quite intrigued by that. You should. I'm sure you'll find it on Google if you check it out. So you have, and then you have some Aboriginal guys who've got the didgeridoo. You've heard of that didgeridoo? And the cyclical breathing. How they can do it without pausing to breathe, I don't know. Somehow they do it. So there's a lot of interesting things. So there was this one busker at a mall who wore a multicolored striped coat, a construction worker's hard hat, which had a tap or a faucet on one side, a toaster oven on the top, a spring with a bobbing animal on this side, and he was playing a guitar. On the neck of the guitar was a stuffed parrot, and in the bottom of the guitar was a wind-up clock. And every so often, he would wind it, and here's what it would say in an automated voice. My mom always told me I'd wind up on the street. Now, that's not what we really aspire for our children to accomplish in life, is it? Nevertheless, that picture arrests your attention. It is fantastic, but disturbing. I submit to us this morning, the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be fantastic, incredible to the world, but disturbing to the unsaved at the same time. Shake them out of their lost. Fantastic, but disturbing. So now, we come to where Peter and John, God uses them to heal, to bring this lame man to wholeness. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, There are three categories of people there. When they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees descended on them. So when this miracle occurred, and there was such a hubbub in the place, a furor almost, it disturbed the peace of the captain of the guards. The captain of the guards' job with his soldiers is to keep the peace in the temple. This is a fabulous temple, huge in Jerusalem. His job is to keep the peace. His paycheck depends on it. If it gets out of control, he can get fired. So it disturbs the peace of the captain of the guards. He must maintain peace and quell any unusual commotion. Second, it disturbed the power of the priests. The priests in those days, like priests who follow the Vatican today, had this line of thinking to the common people that God only spoke to them through the priests. And if the common people wanted to reach God, they had to come through the priests. That was their power base. Now, who's Peter and John? If you check their Facebook profile, they're fishermen. How can it be? This is upsetting the power equilibrium of the priests. God can't use common people like this. It's got to be through us. So it disturbed the power of the priests. And they had to stop that from happening, or try to stop. And third group mentioned there, the Sadducees. It disturbed the prejudice of the Sadducees. Why do we say prejudice? Now, most of us here would know what's the main difference between Pharisees and Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Peter and John are preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, who they just nailed to a cross. And he's supposed to have died. So this completely flies in the face of the theology of the Sadducees. So they had to stop this. This was outside their theological box. So years ago, Brian, you know, we were teaching at Living Word Academy, now LCCS, Lancaster County Christian School. One day I walked to the third grade, Mary Liz Youth's class. And she was teaching the children a song, and it applies. The chorus goes four times, I'll just sing it once. I just want to be a sheep. So they sing that four times, just the chorus. Then comes the verse. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. Because the Pharisees weren't fair, you see. I just want to be a sheep. Then came the Sadducees. The prejudice of the Sadducees. I don't want to be a Sadducee. I don't want to be a Sadducee. I know you know the line now. Because the Sadducees were sad, you see. I just want to be a sheep. They had every reason to be sad. The Apostle Paul writes in his epistles, if only in this life we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. So thank God that we have the hope of the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. But it disturbed the prejudice of the Sadducees. So now Peter and John are brought to trial. And maybe you haven't personally gone to court, but I'm sure you've watched Judge Judy or somebody. Somebody. So you kind of have a picture of what it's like. So here's, you usually have the plaintiffs and the defendants, right? Now, in those cases, you don't have attorneys for them because the Judge Judy, there's no jury. She's just, boom, come. I just picked that name. It could be. There's a couple others also there. I don't remember. By the way, I haven't watched TV for 3 years, so. I actually, one of my YouTube channel uploads, I talk about the Luciferian mainstream media. The Luciferian mainstream media. So I'm untouchable by them. They can't touch me. I choose where my sources of information come from. And my foundation must, our foundation as Christians, must be on the Word of God. And we've heard so many people say over this last week and a half, but how could people who say they're Christian vote like that? So one of the uploads is typed, brainwashed, baffled, bewildered, befuddled believers. Find it on the YouTube channel. Because if these Christians come once a week to church and spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes, 5 minutes a day in the Bible, and 3 hours watching the Luciferian mainstream media, that tells you why they voted that. They punch in their time card on a Sunday and try to listen to God's voice. This is the voice of God for 5 minutes, but are listening to Lucifer's voice for 3 hours. And Lucifer's voice includes Hollywood. You go to the upload. Let's go back to the message. There's a trial. Peter and John are right here before the religious leaders, and beside them is the man who was formerly lame. Peter says, "You mean we are being called to account, being cross-questioned and cross-examined because we showed mercy to a man who was unable to walk?" Then Peter says, we read this in verse 11. Look at it with me again. Verse 10. Be it known to you all. He's literally pointing the finger at the ones who had him cast into jail the previous night. I need to tell you straight. And to all of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, that's how this man stands before you whole. He's basically indicting himself for maybe a whole month in jail. What courage, what boldness, whom you crucified. In verse 11, this is the stone which was set up not by you builders, which was cast aside. This is the stone which was cast aside by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. I like to put it like this. What he's calling Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Now, only in Pennsylvania this works. The fourth of the four. Number one, Jesus, this is going to be another YouTube upload. I've already got the notes. It's coming. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the foundation stone, he's the capstone, and he's the keystone. That's Jesus. He's the foundation stone, he's the cornerstone, he's the capstone and an arch, the middle one. All the pressures on it hold it together, and he's the keystone. You know why we're called the keystone state? You look at the map again, it's a rectangular state, right? You pull it out, all the others would collapse. I mean, in a building setting, it's called the keystone. What keeps them all in place? Jesus is there. He says, it's by the name of this Jesus, the cornerstone whom you builders rejected. That's how and why this man now stands here whole. The master builder had to very carefully select the cornerstone based on its size, shape, and strength, as it determined the rest of the building. Remember, I just read it in verse 11. Very carefully, you need to note, Peter says, this is the stone which you built. You high priests, you religious leaders, you hypocrites, whom you rejected. And then in Acts 4:12, we should know that by heart. We talked about the exclusivity of Christianity. There is no other name under heaven given among, please don't water down the gospel, dear friend. I don't care which other name of which other prophet you want to invoke. The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead is proof that he is God of all the prophets. There's no other name. No. And then in John 14:6, he says to Philip, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's absolutely exclusive. There is no other way. By the way, truth, and life. Hear this. Without the way, forget about your GPS, that's just for local driving. Without the way, there's no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. And without the life, there's no living. Is that Bob Duple there? Looks like Bob Duple, a friend of mine. Without the way, there's no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. And without the life, there's no living. All we need is found in Jesus. In fact, in Colossians, Paul writes, in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. They're in court, on trial. And you know, most good lawyers, to try and exonerate their clients, they will have a couple of exhibits to prove the innocence of their client. So there's two exhibits here. Exhibit A and Exhibit B. Exhibit A is Peter and John themselves. We read that when they looked at them, they took note that they were, I told you I'm going to come back to that word, unlearned and ignorant men. I love the old King James. It's like mother's milk to me. Unlearned. There may be a couple here who have PhDs, and if so, wonderful, we salute you. But unlearned means they were not men of letters with a string of degrees behind their name. And now you're waiting for the next word, aren't you? Ignorant. Are you ready for this? Promise you won't leave. All humans are born ignorant. I mean, a newborn baby doesn't even know 1 + 1 = 2. True or false? Doesn't know it's ABC. No. All humans are born ignorant. We become stupid through education. I'm going to prove it to you. In my case, all humans are born ignorant. We become stupid through education. So I finished at the age of 5. I mean, I just like English. You can tell that. I could read the newsprint upside down. I can't explain it to you. Okay? I came first in class, and then I started to group up in middle school. You know how that goes. But I learned a lot. We think, look, but we become smarter. Then I went to university. I was doing my science degree, chemistry, botany, zoology. And guess what? My professors started teaching me, professors with PhDs and thick textbooks, that we came from monkeys, and I started sprouting a tail. We become ignorant. We become stupid through education. This, our education must be founded on this Word of God. And I remember going to my pastor, who was an American missionary from Richmond, California. He's with Jesus now, and starting to argue with him that we came from monkeys, you know, from pond slime. And I'm sure he started praying more for me. And smack dab in the middle of my science degree, God the Holy Ghost saved me. I knew in my knower that it was a bunch of baloney. But you know, it's kind of the intellectual thing to do. Then I said to my prof, can I come to your office? We need to talk. So from being a pain in the neck to my poor pastor, I now became a thorn in the side to my lecturers. In fact, true instance, not everyone has these stories to tell. In one of our classes was labeled evolution. The young lecturer had no control over the class. You know how it is. Some teachers are strict and some are not. And he kept banging the chalk duster on the table. And none of the boys, about 80 of us, well, there were about 12 girls, banging, no one listening. And I had just gotten saved. You know when you're freshly saved, you have that little boldness. I raised my hand. He said, yes. He doesn't know what's my name. I said, sir, this is evolution. Sir, you teach us that we came from monkeys, you can expect this kind of behavior. Teach us there's a God who created us to worship Him, you can expect something different. Quiet! Quiet! And he seized the moment to take the chalk and start teaching his evolution. Coming down the second floor, one guy who came among the top 100 in the whole nation in our college final degree. He said, Taylor, that was good preaching. All humans are born ignorant. We become stupid through education. And you know what? We not only become stupid through education, we'll become ignorant again through the lying Luciferian mainstream media. We'll go back to square one. I love you. If you're on the media, be a light and shine for Jesus in that place. We need more Christians. So, they took note. Exhibit A, that they were unlearned and ignorant men. So it's baffling to them. How could these guys be used to bring to perform this incredible miracle? And it says at the end of verse 30, and watch this. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The only thing they could accuse them of or tag them with was a fact that these two men used to hang around Jesus Christ. Dear friend, maybe you have a precious Amish background and you never went beyond an 8th grade one-room schoolhouse. It doesn't matter. If you have been hanging out with Jesus, that is the greatest credential you could ever have, Holland. Nothing surpasses spending time being with Jesus. That's the only thing they could be accused of. And what's exhibit B? The man standing beside them. He's over 40 years of age. He was like an icon at the beautiful gate. Everybody inside and outside and passers-by knew who he was. Oh, let me throw in a quick point here. He's over 40 years old. This is shortly after the day of Pentecost, right? And Jesus was there. He just ascended. So don't you think in his 3.5 years ministry, the Lord Jesus might have walked by this guy? It's a possibility, right? Or did he always avoid the beautiful gate? Or happen never to go there? So then I also begs the question, how come, Lord? You know, the only thing I can submit here is, you know what happened as a result of this miracle, right? How many souls came to Christ? That God has a perfect time and place for everything. So, chapter 2, 3,000 souls. Chapter 4, 5,000 souls. Well, the incident happens in chapter 3. 3 and 4 flow together. And as a result of that, I'm thinking, Lord, if I were that lame man, yeah, if I knew that 5,000 souls going to 10 and 12,000, yeah, okay, I'll beg a couple more years. It's worth waiting for it. But he got his miracle in God's perfect time. And what an incredible impact that had in the growth of the church. So exhibit B is this man who's lame. Now made whole in front of their eyes and numerous witnesses. It's indisputable. What do they do? They say, okay, take these guys, keep them in that room, and they get into a little huddle, like a football huddle. What do we do? What do we do? We can't move. We know this is an incredible miracle that took place. And so they come up with a plan. Tell them, keep quiet. Verse 18. Okay. They commanded them, called them back, commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Be silent, whatever you do, do not teach or preach in the name of Jesus. And they made further threats if they did preach in his name. Now, here's what we might do in postmodern 21st century America. Oh dear, I got thrown in the clink in King Street. Isn't that where the jail is? One night, I don't want a month there. Maybe, you know, this is Dauphin County. I'll move to York County and preach there. Or maybe I'm still in the same state. I'll go to Ohio and preach there. So I'm outside the reach of the law. Do you think that that's what Peter and John did? They said, son, we can't listen to you. We must listen to God. You can imprison us as much and as long as you like, but we will preach Jesus Christ. Hear me, friends. The religious leaders, it's an incredible point. They tried their best, and from their perspective, they succeeded in trying to stomp out, to destroy the first body of Jesus. the physical body on the cross. They did their worst. Crucify him. And got him. He gave up the ghost. He died on the cross. We know what happened 3 days later. But they tried to destroy the first body of Christ. Now they're trying to destroy the second body of Christ. The corporate body. Now they're trying to destroy the second body, which is the corporate body. Obviously, they have dismally failed, because what do you think you and I are doing here? Hallelujah. So, Peter and John reply, we cannot keep quiet. We will not be shut up. We see that in verse 19. Hear me when I share this. Regardless of your personality type, there is no such thing as a quiet Christian. You have every right to say, Brother Andrew, you are extroverted. And that's an understatement. My wife's introverted. Some of you would be introverted. But there's no excuse when it comes to Jesus. One hymn writer of old said, I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. How can we withhold such a great salvation? I'm not saying you've got to switch over and become articulate or like Andrew or Pastor Mel or whoever. But in our own way, we can share our story. We can share how Jesus changed our life. As soft a person and gracious you might be. I've actually uploaded this a quote, not an upload, it's just a quote on Facebook. Let your light shine so intensely and burn so brightly that even if you never spoke a word, people would be convicted by the Holy Spirit in you. Have you heard of a man of God named Charles Finney? He was a great revivalist. He calls his Holy Ghost baptism a baptism of love. He says he's walking in the wheat fields or whatever, and he says it was like billows of liquid love coursing through my being. I couldn't stand it. And one time in his ministry, a man who owned like a weaving factory, a lot of ladies at their looms, he wanted to give Charles Finney a walk through. Hear this now. As he brought Finney through, the first lady saw him and began to weep. And the next began to weep. The man he didn't close the business. He shut down the day's work and they had a revival. Let your light shine so intensely and burn so brightly that even if you never spoke a word, people would be convicted by the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as a quiet Christian. And do you pray for yourself? I cry out every day. Come on, be real with me. Some of our best friends are not Christians. I want them to get saved. I don't want them to go to hell and then point an accusing finger at me. So God, reveal your Son to them. Save them, Lord. We cannot be a quiet Christian. And then they're released, told not to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. They go straight to their prayer buddies, to their Christian friends. Guess what they do? They have another storming heaven session. Worshipping and praising God. You can read that in those few verses towards the end of this chapter. They pray for more. I want you to see this. Verses 29 and 30. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. It's incredible. You know what they pray for? Three things. More power, more boldness, and more miracles. Exactly the thing that got them in prison. But the human mind, it defies all logic. They didn't say, as we hear many churches today,
while we are trying to find out how to navigate the situation. You know that. You've heard that term many times. There's a God give us more power, more boldness, and more miracles. They can lock us up and throw away the key, but we won't stop doing your perfect, holy work. And when they prayed like this, our closing verse 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. This is just like a mini day of Pentecost. When they prayed like this, the whole house was shaken. Shall I tell you why the house shook physically? Because their prayer touched the cornerstone. You touch the cornerstone, the whole house will wobble. Remember, He is our cornerstone, our foundation stone, our capstone, our keystone. Oh God, may our prayer touch the cornerstone, Jesus.